Blog Talk Radio.
Radio is looking for a producer. So if you have any internet radio producing skills, please email Blueshirt Underground Radio at blueshirtunderground.com. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Blueshirt Underground Radio. Jim and Eddie with you. Eddie, good evening. How are you? We need somebody to run this switchboard.
I am juiced. I've watched a couple periods
pear
of...
juiced?
I am pear-juiced. As I've watched two periods of NHL hockey so far, I'm already... way too excited and way too into the games, rooting against the Flyers, trying to figure out how Philly scored with 3 seconds left in the first period by newly acquired Jacob Voracek, but I'm doing fine. I can't wait for Ranger hockey. It's finally here. It's finally got to me, Jim. It's finally on all of our doorsteps, and now I'm truly afraid.
And as Mandar so eloquently pointed out in the chat room just a few minutes ago, it is officially game day in Sweden.
That's right. Right. Yeah, it is tomorrow in Sweden.
If you are listening to us in Sweden, like Karen Reuterberg or Chris Smith might be there for the game, you can officially say the Rangers are playing today.
Yeah, and I appreciate everybody who's here listening to us tonight. I know it's a big night in New York. Is there some kind of baseball game going on at
the Mets?
No, that's
not
too
exactly.
Late. Too late. It's not
Wait,
over.
Is Jose Reyes going to bat again?
I was at that game.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I know, but you know the story of that, but I'll save that if we got some dead air time. But, yeah, so hockey's here. I'm excited. I'm worried. I'm nervous. I feel like I'm already behind. The Rangers are already behind because teams are playing and they've gotten the jitters out of, their season underway. But looking forward to it and just so excited. I really am. This is what I live for in my sad existence.
Well, I'm excited, Eddie, but I'll tell you, we spent the whole summer, July and August, talking about everything was stable, calm waters, sea of tranquility. There was nothing to talk about. And now all of a sudden, in the last week, we've got two, pardon my French, shitstorms with this team.
Oh, man. I mean, it's a shit cloud is coming. I mean, it's here. What am I saying? It's coming. It's so bad now that even people we haven't heard for in months are now showing up. As I see, Rock has shown up. who we haven't spoken to in months. It's really bad. I don't want to let on how bad I think it is, but you have one I don't really care about and one that impacts the Rangers dramatically, and I think it's not being discussed amongst Ranger fans as much as it should be, or we're just trying to, like, not make an issue of it so as not to, I don't want to say jinx us, but to, maybe we can wade through it or get through it. So it'll be a big test. But that's how I'm feeling. And you can get to the topics of the which shitstorm you want to go with.
Okay. Just a reminder, tonight is our Atlantic Division preview show. We've got great Kevin Kinesa from KC in 60, and he's part of the Sid Rosenberg program. He will be joining us in just a few minutes to talk New Jersey Devils hockey. I almost called them the Kansas City Scouts, the Colorado Rockies, the Golden Seals, the whole bit. He's going to join us. Come on. I never resist a chance to push the screws in. Kevin will join us in just a few minutes to talk a little Devils hockey. And then we have Derek and Adam joining us at about 9:15, I believe. Derek and Adam are from Penn's Blog, which is the premier Pittsburgh Penguins blog. Try saying that three times fast. On the planet. These guys have got they are well known. They're also, as far as traffic is concerned, they're one of the biggest hockey blogs in the country. So I'm pretty excited to talk to these guys. They've also just gotten going with a radio show here on Blog Talk. So we'll talk to them. And then probably somewhere right around 10 o'clock, we're going to be joined by Jeff Duttweiler from Broad Street Hockey, the SB Nation home of the Philadelphia Flyers. Jeff's been on the show with us before. He's a pretty good guy, so we're looking forward to talking to him. So we'll get to it in just a few minutes when Kevin calls in. We've got two stories. We got this Avery thing, which, you know, is over. As far as the Rangers are concerned, it's over and done with for the most part. I mean, you know, he's been waived. I think the last I saw, you know, there was some talk he was going to go to Europe, Eddie, but he took the first flight out of Stockholm yesterday, and I guess he's been assigned to Connecticut. But has he actually said he's going to play? Is he going to go to Hartford, Connecticut? Excuse me. Has that been confirmed? Do we know? Do we care?
I don't care, but I also do not know if he has or not.
Okay. Because I thought maybe he'd wind up in one of those beer leagues with Marek Milik, or maybe up in the Eskimo League that Theo Fleury played in for a while before he went to Ireland.
Right. I mean,
there's plenty of opportunities for Sean Avery. But what's getting me about this Sean Avery thing is that Larry Brooks did a story in the Post yesterday, and I put it out in the Facebook group for you guys to take a look at it yesterday, about how Larry Brooks wrote a story, Rangers coach never gave Avery a shot to stick. And, you know, because the first thing, my first question, I asked this, Joe Catrone and I were talking about it the other day. You know, they scratched him for the last two games of the preseason. It was obvious that they had no intention of keeping him on the roster. Why bring him to Europe? Well, Larry Brooks asked that question of John Tortorella, and John Tortorella's answer was, that's not for me to say. I don't want to play GM here. And you know how I love to read between the lines with the font. You know, I make no money out of my part-time hobby of reading between Torts' lines. You know, that's not the first time he's made that comment, Eddie. I don't want to play GM, or I'm not the GM, or, you know, little comments like that. And, you know, there's something between the two of them.
Well, I think with Sather, and this is a fault of his, or it could be something that can be considered something of a positive. As a person, he is very loyal to the people he's loyal to. And apparently he's very loyal to Sean Avery, or feels that Sean Avery adds a certain amount of grit or, you know, whatever age to the Rangers. And apparently Sather thought that Avery should have a chance to be with the club. And I think this happens with all teams, you know, between GMs and coaches. Some of it's more public than others. Some of it you never hear about. But I think Tortorella can't help but let it bubble over. I would love to have heard the exit interview that Avery had with Tortorella last year, because obviously it wasn't that good.
I would love to have heard the conversation between Glenn and Tortorella when Tortorella said, I don't want to bring Avery to Europe. He's not going to be on the team this year. And Glenn said, well, I'd really like you to bring Avery to Europe.
Well,
do you think Tortorella said, look, I don't want Avery with us in the preseason. He's not going to be on the team. I've had my fill. I gave him 2 years, 2.5 years, whatever it was. Enough's enough. He's not going to be on the team. And Sather said, look, let's put him on the roster and let me see if I can, showcase him a little bit. Is that a possibility? I mean, I don't know.
Well, I think, remember, we were doing a show live, and Andrew Gross posted those three groups of skaters, of teams that the Rangers
right.
were in practice.
Right.
And we noticed right off the bat that Avery was on basically the AHL team.
Right. He was on the Connecticut
point.
Team.
The Connecticut, you know, with a lot of the guys who were bubble guys and really AHL bound. And right there, I think that's your tip-off right there, that things were not okay with Avery.
Right. And then the further tip-off was when you looked at that roster and then Tortorella said, don't read anything into that. Of course you.
Yes.
That was the further tip-off, because the minute this team says, don't read anything into it, you better start reading into it.
Exactly. So. So, yeah, that's the first tip-off that you know that there's something going to happen, is that they start saying there's nothing to see here. Move on.
Right,
nothing to
exactly.
see. Move along.
Which kind of leads into the whole Mark Stahl situation, because now Mark Stahl, who a couple weeks ago, you know, had some concussion syndromes, nothing to worry about. He's going to sit out the preseason, but he'll be ready for the regular season. Now all of a sudden he's not going to be ready for the regular season. Yes, it was the Thompson Twins cutter. Now, there's no time. I guess there's still no timetable. But yesterday, I don't know if it was Tortorella or Sather, somebody said, well, it's a concussion. It could be 2 weeks. It could be a month. It could be 2 months. Remember what I told you. New Year's Day.
You're right.
New Year's Day.
I think as soon as the broadcast was over, they announced that. I was very impressed by that. Very impressed. I was so... Once again, I was caught being too naive and underestimating the skullduggery and chicanery of the New York Rangers.
And that was, you know, that was the other thing. Because the minute they said, oh, Stahl's not going to play the opening games, they emphatically denied, those were their words, we emphatically deny that Mark Stahl has suffered a setback. Well, the minute he couldn't play in those opening games that they said he was going to play in, doesn't that constitute a setback? Is it that a setback in itself?
Well, I think the way they're lying about this is that it isn't really a setback. It's just he hasn't made any progress. So I think that's how they're, you know, if they were saying, you know, maybe you misled the us, well, who cares? You know what? Frankly, if anybody cared about this sport in New York, this would be a story that would be all over the place. If this was a football or a baseball injury,
yeah,
to Derek Jeter or, you know, Eli Manning, or somebody in the WNBA or anybody, but nobody cares. The fact that this went on for 9 months, and then you have this buffoon Sather comes out and says, oh, maybe he just has a headache. You know, I mean, you know, it's only this is why when fans tell me that Sather has really straightened his whole thing out, he hasn't. He's not in touch with anything, with reality, first of all.
Right.
So you're taking a guy that is the heart and soul of the Ranger defense, a guy who's going to play 30 minutes, up to 30 minutes a game on the blue line. He's going to match up against the best forward on the other team. He's a shutdown defenseman, as far as I'm concerned, or is about to become, on the verge of becoming an all-star shutdown defenseman. He was an all-star last year, wasn't he? And I think, you know, to let this go for the amount of time they did and to take him now to acupuncturists and what have you, and you got to take, again, I said this a couple, you got to take care of your investments. The guy just got a new contract a year ago. So it's lackluster. And now the way the Rangers are scrambling, Jim, to find these defensemen, I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, it really is. I mean, you know, today, who'd they sign that guy? Wojciechowicz from Barney Miller? I'm stealing your joke.
Max Gale.
Max Gale. I think he's actually dead in real life.
Wojciechowicz.
Yeah. Jeff Wojwitka. Didn't he just own the Wojwitka Home Theater?
Yeah, Wojwitka Home Theater, WHT.
Yeah. Only some of you will get that joke. And yeah, the Wojwitka Home Theater, that they have to scramble to get these kind of bums off the waiver wire and get them in the lineup.
And, but in your case, at least on the bright side, it's not Paul Mara. Right?
I'd rather have Paul Mara at this point.
You'd rather have Paul Mara than Wojciechowicz?
I don't even know what Jeff Wojwitka does. I have no idea. I know he's big and he doesn't hit. Right there, I don't like him.
He's perfect, in other words. He is your prototypical Ranger defenseman.
Exactly. I mean, and what makes it more frightening is if I got to see MDZ play with Wojwitka, I think I'm going to have a heart attack. I'm not going to get out of game two. I mean, and then you got to sprinkle Emminger in there.
Wojwitka will join such Ranger non-hitting defenseman legends as Peter Popovic.
Yeah.
And Marek Malik.
Yeah.
And Michel Petit.
Well, Michel Petit could, he took a lot of minors, but he could handle himself, though. Once more, Bob Probert, Jim. And live to tell about it.
All right. So we got to. All right. So we'll cross Petit off the list.
Yeah, we'll cross Petit off there. You know, and to me, and now this might be sacrilege. I was talking to my friend today at the comic book store. I was not in there to buy comics. I was actually in there on a hockey card mission. But you know, he's a big Ranger fan. And I was telling him, you know, I dared to cross a line that I guess you're not really supposed to cross with Ranger fans. Uh-oh. I dared to mention that rather than keep Emminger getting Jeff Wojwitka, the Wojwitka Home Theater, that maybe we should have just kept Gilroy, signed him for the $1 million. And he was like, oh, Gilroy, come on. And I'm like, you know what? Gilroy at least knows the system. I know you can't go, you don't want to play Monday morning quarterback, but for what it turns out, they could have kept the guy. I think he's serviceable. He had a good playoff. I know he's not going to be offensive. I didn't worry a lot when he played last year as much as I did the year before. I thought he made a little bit of progress.
Right.
But
no, I agree.
What the hell I know? What the hell? And just to cap that thought off, and listen, maybe I'm out of my head for thinking that Matt Gilroy. And then I was thinking, How bad did Pavel Valentenko play in the preseason that he got completely thrown back to Connecticut while we had to watch Stu Bickle and Brendan Bell and what's that other guy's name? Brett Parlett or whatever that guy's name is. That Valentenko just was sent down and just disregarded.
And he was another one. Valentenko was another one taking shifts with a suitcase in his hand. They couldn't wait to get him out of here.
Him and Andreas Thurisson must be like...
Oh, yeah, the great Andreas Thurisson.
Yeah.
So, where...
He actually got sent down during a line shift, Jim. A line change. He thought they meant go on the ice. He meant get on a plane.
He was demoted on the fly.
Yeah.
All right, are you ready for you ready to talk a little New Jersey Devils hockey?
I can't wait.
All right, well let's welcome to the broadcast, making his first appearance, Kevin Kinesa. He is from KC and 60 on Shovio. He is also I'm not exactly sure what do you do with the Sid Rosenberg Show, Kevin. I don't know your exact title.
Well, I used to do his website. I did it for about 3 years, but I don't do it anymore. So I'm not doing Sid stuff anymore. But for about 3 years, I did his website, and I used to call in all the time, anytime there was something Devils related too, just like kind of what I'm doing tonight here with you guys.
Well, then forget the three plugs I just gave to Sid Rosenberg. Well, Kevin,
you know what,
we're
when
thrilled
you were talking
to...
about WHT, I just couldn't help but think. Do you remember those? How the sound would come through the box that you put on top of your TV, and it would de-scramble channel 68.
Yeah,
that was the craziest thing.
I spent a few nights as a 10-year-old trying to figure out that scramble. That's for sure. Well, we probably all did, you know.
Right?
That was the Cinemax after dark, in its day.
Exactly.
But there was Eddie. I don't know if Kevin actually we found out that we actually have a connection. Pat's uncle, or excuse me, Kevin's uncle Pat went to high school with my mom and dad, and his uncle Pat used to work the Harry M. Stevens stand selling programs outside the Garden for Ranger games.
Wow!
So Kevin's family and my family actually go way back. We found out completely by accident one night. We just happened to be talking. But anyway, Kevin, welcome to the program, and we're glad you're here. Talk a little Devils hockey. I guess we'll start with the new coach in town. Were you happy with the choice of coach?
The minute he was fired by the Panthers, and when it was pretty clear that Jacques Lemaire wasn't going to come back, the first thing I said was, Lou Lamoriello's got to go after this guy. And here's why. When he was I think you guys know this pretty well. You know the league so well. When he was down in Florida, Dale Talon didn't exactly give him much, neither did Jacques Martin, when Jacques Martin was the general manager in Florida. So for three seasons, he had absolutely nothing to work with. And one season, he actually had 94 points and just missed the playoffs, too. So he was screwed being in Florida right off the get-go because there's no care or concern for whether that team wins or loses. They just don't care. So he had a raw deal there. And I'll tell you what, he was the coach of the Kitchener Rangers for a bunch of years. And when he was with the Kitchener Rangers, he was able to bring out the best in young kids that I had seen in a long time. And that's why the minute Jacques retired or resigned, whatever the hell he did for the fifth time, and it was pretty clear that he wasn't going back to Florida either for DeBoer, I was really hoping that Lamoriello would find a way to make him the coach. And to my shock, I got to be honest, I didn't think it was going to happen, but I was shocked but very, very, very happy when he was named the coach a couple of months ago.
Now, here's my question about the Devils. Does it bother you as a Devils fan that it always seems like the Devils have a head coach and then they'll keep a former coach in the holster? Isn't Larry Robinson going to be one of DeBoer's or one of his assistants?
Yeah, Larry Robinson has been an assistant to almost every coach before and after. Larry was the head coach himself for three stints, whatever it was. And I got to be honest, if I were a head coach and I knew that there was somebody in the wings like that, always looking over my shoulder, I'd be a little bit uncomfortable, you know. So I never quite understood what Larry Robinson's deal was. You know, he had a bout with depression. I know it wasn't pretty for a while, and that's part of the reason he resigned the last time he was the head coach. But I never quite understand why he doesn't mind being the assistant coach in the wings. And if I were a head coach, I'd feel a little bit uncomfortable with that, knowing that this guy's always there to look over my shoulder. And so, yeah, absolutely, it's a little bothersome.
Now, did they win? Was Robinson their coach for one of their cups?
Yeah, he was the head coach in 2000. So
2000, okay.
Robbie Fatorik started off the season, and that was the year he threw a bench on the ice, and Lamoriello canned him about halfway through the season, and then Robinson took over there. So that was what that – so he did win that cup in 2000.
Okay. All right, so give us your take on the. I see the Devils gave Sikora a 1-year deal, looks like Larson's made the team, right? He's on the roster.
Yeah, Larson made the team. You know, the thing, just starting off with Peter Sikora, it seems like every year, Jim and Eddie, something like this happens where there's a retread who Lou Lamoriello signs to be on the team. Last year it was Jason Arnott. The year before that, it was Bobby Holik and Brian Ralston. And these signings never work out. The only time it ever worked out was in 2000 when he brought Claude Lemieux back. But you know what? Every time these retreads come back, it never works out. So he had a good training camp. He scored 2 goals in the 6 games that they played. But I'm not so sold that this was the right thing to do. If history repeats itself, Sikora is not going to have any impact on this team at all. And it's just one of those sentimental things that Lou Lamoriello's got in his head, and he never gets rid of it. He likes to bring these guys back, and it just doesn't ever work out. I just got a funny feeling it's not going to work out in this case either.
Now, see, that's kind of funny because you, as a Devils fan, looking at it saying, this can't possibly work out. And then me, as a Ranger fan, whereas I've seen so many things over the years that the Devils have done, and I've said to myself, this can't possibly work for the Devils, and then it always turns up, you know, roses. You know, in my mind, Sikora is going to score 35 goals.
Of course.
I always expect the worst.
Yeah, if this were about 5 or 6 years ago, I would have said you're right, but the moves that Lou has made over the last couple of years have been very, very suspect. I don't think he's half the general manager that he used to be, and it might be because of the relationship he has with Jeff Vanderbeek, the new owner. I don't know. I just got a sense. I actually went to the when the Prudential Center opened up. I was working in the media. I had a chance to go to the first media day, and I just had a sense that Vanderbeek and Lou Lamoriello do not like each other. And I don't know, but a lot of guys are afraid to broach this topic. But I think Vanderbeek's put a muzzle on Lou. So, you know, Lou hasn't exactly made the best moves in the last 4 or 5 years. But then again, I think he's been controlled a lot more by Jeff Vanderbeek than any of the other owners have in the past.
Specifically like the Kovalchuk move, which was something I don't think Lou would have done 7 years ago.
No. Any type of long-term contract, anything with $100 million, anything, Lamoriello would just turn around and say, get out of here. That's not our system. We don't operate that way. We don't give these long-term contracts. But Jeff Vanderbeek wanted this marquee guy. He thought that it would be something great for attendance, and the attendance is as bad as it's ever been in the brand-new building that's only 4 years old. And I don't expect that attendance will be any better. I think it's going to be a lot worse this year than it was in the last couple of years. So, absolutely. You know, these moves that Lou normally wouldn't make, I think Jeff Vanderbeek's pulling a little bit more strings up at the top than anybody would ever expect.
Okay. As a Devils fan, what area are you most concerned with this year?
I think it's Marty Brodeur. You know, this guy's played 70 games all these seasons, not last year because he had an injury. But I never understood the idea behind playing this guy 72 games a year when you have a decent backup. Johan Hedberg played very well in Marty's absence last year, and I'm always afraid that even a new guy like Pete DeBoer is going to have these sparkles in his eyes and say, I've got one of the best goalies to ever play the game. I'm going to play him 72 games again. And that's why I think there's all these burnouts every year in the first round of the playoffs. Go back to a couple of years ago when they played the Devils played Carolina into a game 7. They were up 3-2 in the 7th game with 2 minutes to go, and Marty let up 2 of the softest goals he's ever let up in his career. I think a lot of that goes back to the idea that he just plays too much in a regular season, and he's not fresh for the postseason. So I'm hoping that Pete DeBoer doesn't get googly-eyed here with Marty and play him 72 games a year. I think Johan Hedberg needs to play 25 to 30 games this season if this team's going to make the playoffs. If Brodeur plays 70 games, I don't think this team's anywhere near the playoffs.
Hedberg's no spring chicken himself. I mean, they've got 80 years worth of goaltending on that roster between the two of them. One of them's 39, and one of them's, what is Hedberg? He's 38, isn't he, or 37?
Yeah, one of the oldest goalie tandems in hockey history. So, yeah. I mean, it's not exactly like a youth movement here behind in the net.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like Van Beesbrook and Richter back in the day. You know, I mean, these are old goaltenders right there. So I think, now, who's their top goaltending prospect? Is it Frazee? Is that his name?
Yeah, I think it's Jeff Frazee. You know, the thing is, though, that you can't really tell because these guys only get a minimal amount of ice time every September, and there haven't been many good teams in Albany or in Lowell, depending on where the AHL team was. So there was never really a good indicator of how talented these guys are. And I don't think a kid like Jeff Frazee has played enough to really warrant coming into the NHL if Marty decides to bolt and go to Montreal or Toronto or whatever next year, or if he's hurt or long term. I'm not so confident in any of these backups that they've got down either in Albany or wherever the new East Coast hockey team is. I don't know where they're going to be this year. I know they left Trenton, so I'm not so confident in what's in the farm system at all either. So I don't think it looks too good really in the future as far as goaltending goes with this team.
Jim, am I allowed to participate in this, or is this the Jim Schmiedeberg show tonight? I mean, seriously.
I told you, jump in anytime.
Jump in. You don't even give me a breath over here to jump. All right.
Good night, everybody.
It seems to be, you know, I you talk to Ranger fans, they want to bury the Devils right away, and I'm not so sure that's going to happen. I think Kovalchuk looked good in preseason. You got Parisi back. I mean, I like that. This Adam Larson kid, I mean, he made the team, you know, just by showing up. I don't think there was ever a battle. But it seems that the concern is also on the defense. And maybe you can share with the audience what some of the concerns are. Maybe if you have concerns, what they are as far as the Devils go.
Yeah, Eddie, the defense in this team is not what it used to be. And a lot of people always, you know, criticize the Devils for being a defensive-oriented team, boring trap hockey, but the truth of the matter is, their number one defenseman right now is Andy Green, and that's not saying much from an organization that had Scott Stevens on the blue line for more than a decade. So you have to, if you're a Devils fan, you have to be worried about the defense, and you have to be worried about what you're going to get out of Andy Green, out of Henrik Tillander, or whatever he wants to call himself now. And Larson, I think is the real deal. But part of the problem is he's not going to be surrounded really by anybody. So I think that could be a real tough thing for him. I think it's going to be a lot tougher for Adam Larson to make the adjustment when he starts playing these real games than what he saw in the preseason. And, you know, I mean, I may sound like the most pessimistic guy right now, but this is the first. I honestly believe that this is the first time in 15 years that when you take a look at the three tri-state area teams, the third team, as far as talent goes, is the Devils. I really believe that even the Islanders have a better chance at making the playoffs than the Devils do this year.
Wow.
Yeah. And I hate this. It makes me sick to say that. I want to puke right now just saying that. But it's true. And you know what it is, too, guys? The thing is, Kovalchuk was very inconsistent in the first part of last year. I'm afraid of seeing something like that again. He's got his contract now, so what does he play for? Parise, who knows what's going to happen coming off almost a full year injured. And then also, you got to also keep in mind, too, that Travis Zajac, who knows? I just hope that he's not on New York Mets rehab time, because if he is, it might be a long time before he plays a game. So there's a lot of question marks here. So that's why I'm going in very, very pessimistically, hoping for the best. But I just don't think the talent's there. The coach I love, but I just don't think the talent's there enough to get this team into the playoffs.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's certainly what do you think about Anton Volchenkov last year and what his hopes are for this year? Because he came in with kind of a big production, a big signing there with Volchenkov. What do you think?
Yeah, I wasn't. You didn't see much out of him though. That's the thing. And I'm concerned that you're gonna get the same old out of him. And again, I'm not sure who he's gonna be paired with yet. I don't know if DeBoer's announced what the pairings are gonna be. And they only have seven defensemen right now playing anyway. So I a lot's gonna depend on who he plays with. If he's paired with Adam Larson, I think that might be the best thing for him. But I just don't know right now, and that's another concern too. You know, I like these prima donnas, these guys who have gotten decent contracts, who once they get their contracts, they come in and they're garbage, and that's what I hate to use that word, but that's basically what we've seen out of him. And I don't know. I just hope hoping for the best, but expecting the worst here.
Sounds more like a Rangers fan than a Devils fan.
You know why I like Kevin Kinesa? I'm going to tell you right now. He's on point with his analysis. He's entertaining, which, let's face it, that's half the battle in Blog Talk Radio. Actually, in radio, three-quarters of the battle being entertaining. And he's not a rah-rah homer type. He's giving it to us straight. I got to tell you, anybody who'll say that the tri-state teams, his team is the last, especially over the New York Islanders, that takes balls, ladies and gentlemen. He's got pure nads, and I like that.
You know what else is funny is that, did you notice, he said his team is last, and he said that the Islanders were ahead of the Devils, but he couldn't bring himself to say that the Rangers were the best. He managed to say it without actually saying it. That is the true measure of a Devils fan right there.
I will say it. The best team in the tri-state area is the New York Rangers. I would not be surprised if they finished in the top four in the East, and I would not be surprised if this was the year that Henrik finally wins a Vezina. So there are a lot of good things are going to happen with this team, and I'll tell you what. Listening to you talking about John Tortorella, I love that guy. I think he's one of the most entertaining coaches in the sport. So I think you guys are looking at a really decent year here.
I like Tortorella too. I think Eddie and I both do. I think, you know, just like every other coach of every other team we root for, occasionally makes us scratch our heads. Without that, we don't have a show.
Well, how much did Sean Avery's commercial over the summer have to do with this? Anything? Is there any repercussions that he's facing because he made that commercial over the summer, guys?
I don't think that had anything to do with it. I think it's basically the whole novelty is worn off. The Rangers are going in a different direction. You know, they want the all-American type kid or the all-Canadian type kid. It's just a distraction, and I think the novelty is worn off. And I think Torch said it. They got better players than him. He's up there in age. He's constantly offsides. You know, he's always trying to cheat on the offside. Enough of this stuff. You know,
they're throwing the arms in the air. What did I do, right? Enough of that, I guess.
Right.
But you know what the funny thing is, though, if he were to sign with the Devils, I'd be very, very happy. And that's the crazy thing. You know, he's like he's the Claude Lemieux syndrome. You hate him when he's on somebody else's team, but when he's on your team, you got to like the guy. I mean, there's just something about him, you know. I don't know. I doubt that this is ever going to happen, but I'm just thinking out loud here.
I can't see Lou ever signing Sean Avery. I just can't see that happening. Kevin, before we let you go, your buddy Zach is in the chat room from Shovio as well, and he said you have a Scott Stevens story that we have to hear.
This was about a year ago, and Zach and I were at the Shovio Studios on 43rd Street. I think it was 43rd Street. I can't remember exactly. And we were walking back to Penn Station. Zach to go back to Long Island and me to come back to Jersey, and we're crossing 34th Street, and Scott Stevens is walking out of a parking lot, and I guess it was the night the Devils and the Rangers played their annual preseason game at the Garden, so it was last season. So I yelled out his name, and he turned around and he waved, and I said, "Come here, I want to just take a picture with you real quick," and he just blew me off and walked right into the Garden. But then I looked at Zach looked at his watch. And it was 10 minutes after 7 o'clock for a 7 o'clock game. And he was supposed to be behind the bench that night because he was actually coaching during the preseason. So he completely blew me off. But then we realized that it was because it was he was substantially late for a hockey game. It was not exactly the best thing to do if you're a coach.
Oh,
gotcha. I was not very pleased, though, to say the least, that he wouldn't take 2 seconds to take a picture. But what can you do?
That's Ron Duguay did the same thing to us in March.
Did he really? Yeah.
Yes, exact same thing, pretty much.
Yeah.
He was, we were parked in the same parking garage as him, right across the street from the garden. And he was. We went downstairs. He was getting out of his Jaguar. And we had the camera all ready. And Eddie said, "How you doing, Mr. Duguay?" And he looked at us and went, "Hey." And then pretty much sprinted across the street to get away from us. His hair was flowing in the wind as he ran away from us. He looked like something out of a romance novel.
Oh, Ron Duguay. Oh, my God. I just think of those old Sassoon commercials every time I hear his name. You can't help but think of those, right? You remember those?
Yeah. Oh, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Right. Well, Kevin, we thank you for joining us. We got the Penguins guys coming on in just a few minutes, but it's been a pleasure. And let's talk again during the season. We'll catch up on the Devils and all the best. So thank you,
Jimmy
again.
Eddie. Thank you very much for having me. It was an honor and a pleasure. Talk to you soon.
Great
job, right.
Take
Kevin.
Care.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Great job by Kevin. Much better. Much better than who we had the last 2 years. When we did this, I do. But I don't want to mention it. I don't, you know, just the person we had the last 2 years, nowhere near as entertaining as Kevin. So we appreciate Kevin coming on and sitting in with us for a little while, give us a little insight. Interesting to hear a pragmatic Devils fan.
Well, yes, and you know, a lot of Ranger fans will sit there and go, "Devils fans don't know their hockey, and they don't have any self-introspection," and they, you know, I give Devil fans a lot more credit than I do Islander fans. And I know you being from New Jersey, you have more of a venom towards Devil fans, and so maybe you look upon them as, you know, know-nothings like I look at Islander, but Islander fans really are know-nothings.
I had to deal with more Islander fans when I was younger, but when I got older, it was more Devil fans. You know, because I was down in South Jersey at that point, so there were more Devil fans around me, and you know, Devil fans tend to be like Yankee fans. Their answer to every question, every criticism is three cups. That's their answer to everything, you know. And a lot of times, you know, that's the way it used to be with the Islander fans. You know, that used to be their answer for everything, four cups. But now that it's been 30 years, that's kind of died off a little bit because they don't have that many fans anymore that were alive when they won those cups. So, you know, but that there's a tendency among some Devil fans to, but Kevin was a breath of fresh air, as they say.
Yes. I'm glad that we got to interview him on the Jim Schmiederberg show. It was fantastic.
Here we go again.
No, but it was good. It was very good.
All right. So we got the Pens blogs guys. They are not here yet. So, Why don't we grab Rock real quick? He's on hold. And then when the Penguin guys get here, we'll get over to them. So Rock, how are you?
What's up, boys? How are you? Excuse me.
Hey Rock, how you been, man? Long time no chat.
What are you hiding in the bathroom?
Yeah, pretty much. Just a little bit crazy with work, so I apologize. But I've been following along, and just to comment on a couple things you guys brought up. I mean, Seda does this to us every year. I mean, they claim they need a veteran defenseman, and this is very remnant of the year they brought in Jamie Pusher as their veteran answer to their defensive woes. And this guy has been traded so many times. He's been on so many teams. There's a reason he's on waivers. And I didn't want Paul Mara either. It just, to me, is he never makes a hockey trade. It's either he either fleeces a team or he gets, like, these washed-up guys that, you know, he hopes to find lightning in a bottle with. And they don't ever work out. And I hope I'm wrong about this kid. I mean, he's only 28 years old. But to me, a veteran is someone who's had more seasoning. He's never played more than 60 games in a season. And I don't know. I mean, I look at this defense, and without Mark Stahl, I'm not as comfortable with this team defense as I was last season. like you said, he, a 30-minute guy, you know, a go-to guy. I mean, we have Delzato in our top 4D. I wasn't looking into this season thinking Delzato was going to be on the team, let alone on your top four. And, you know, I liked Tim Erickson. I like what he's brought. But Tid took a lot of penalties in the preseason. I mean, he took at least one penalty a game. So, you know, I mean, I'm a little bit concerned that, again, we're bringing in another guy. And I know it's tough. And I know I don't want to make it sound like, you know, he has to go. And everyone knows that they're hurting for D. So they're going to, if there's a defenseman available, they're probably holding the Rangers ransom for it. But, you know, I think going forward, they're definitely going to have to figure out a way to improve in that area, because they're top 4D, and especially if Stoll's out for a long period of time. I don't know. I don't know what the top 4D that they have, if they have enough to progress. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
So you don't think some switch?
I'm scared shitless. Let me tell you right now. I'll tell you how I feel. Sorry, Jim. But without Mark Stoll, before I even get to that, you hit on a great thing. The nuances of hockey and tying the loose threads, so to speak, it's not Glenn Sather's forte. Adding those little parts to a team, I almost feel like he goes down a list of the waiver wire and looks to see where the guys were drafted. Oh, this guy was a former first-round pick. Somebody must have thought he was good at one time. Let's get him. Let's bring
him. That's a great point.
They had shots at Chris Campoli. You know, I'm not saying these guys, certainly guys that I would have much rather seen than Jeff Wojtka. I mean, and I'm not, Michael Delzato scares the hell out of me. He lived the fear. Emminger, I'm shaky on.
Emminger was horrible in the preseason. I mean, and you can say that about a lot of guys in the preseason, but he was bad.
And
he was bad.
You know, we're not even throwing the sophomore jinx or the sophomore slump with McDonough and Sauer. I'm worried. I know I'm always, you know, like I'm Chicken Little. Like the other day I said, I'm like Chicken Little before the season. I guess I'm getting scared. I mean, thank God we have Henrik Lundqvist. And one point I'd also like to make is that last year the Rangers had a lot of adversity and they did very well. And I think a lot of that has to go, you know, you got to put that on Tortorella and their organization. So hopefully they can weather this storm for a month. Last year they did it with youth. I don't think Jeff Wojtka is the answer.
I couldn't agree with you more. And, you know, the problem now is now the expectations have been raised. So all those guys that last year had Brian Boyle, McDonough, Sauer, Brandon Prust to a certain degree, a lot is now going to be expected of these guys, where last year you were hoping to get just something out of, especially out of Boyle and Prust. You know, now these two guys are going to be dependent on, you know, for killing penalties, for you know, and Boyle's, and especially Boyle, he's going to be dependent on, you scored 20 goals, they're going to expect you 20 goals again. You know, not 15, not 13, not 10. You know, the expectations of this team have now been risen. And their team, people picking them to come in upwards of fourth in the Eastern Conference, and some people picking them to win the Atlantic Division. So now the whole expectations are really risen now, especially with the addition of Richards. You know, and the funny part about it was, with Stoll in the lineup, the defense doesn't look as bad. And you said, oh, well, maybe they can go out and maybe find somebody to give them a little more offense. Because if you look at that L.A. team, that L.A. team is loaded with offensive talent. I mean,
sure,
they are. I looked at their roster. I mean, they're amazing, the lineup they're throwing out there. Now, where we have the advantage is in goal. And I'm not really, you know, Drew Doughty aside, I mean, I'm not really sold on their defense, but from an offensive perspective, I mean, you look at that team and they're amazing. But like I said, the expectations for the Rangers have really risen, and I just hope they're up for the challenge. I hope they don't try to sleepwalk through the season. So,
Well,
that's how I feel about that.
Jim, do we have the Pens blog people on yet? I don't want to, before I go on to this point.
No, we don't. I was just actually double-checking the email that between just to make sure that I did say 9:15, so they are now late. And they have a game at 10 o'clock, so they better hurry.
I think that a lot of when you got these, you know, people made predictions about the Rangers, I think it was done with like, well, the Rangers needed a missing piece. They got Brad Richards. They have a young team. Therefore, they have corrected their problems and should move up a couple spots in the East. And that could wind up being correct. But there's a lot of intangibles now that have come up. The Staal injury, this ridiculous travel schedule, the preseason of death, where I didn't, it went on too long. It seemed like the games were, they had three different teams. They had three different Ranger squads. They never had like a Ranger, you know, Richardson, Gabbert, what, they played together twice, maybe three
and
games.
And the competition they're playing.
Right.
I mean, I understand that. You know, no disrespect to the Swedish team they played and the Slovak team, but other teams are playing NHL players. They're playing guys that couldn't play in the NHL. So to me, that also worried me. That I thought I hope that they don't fall on their face tomorrow, because let's be honest, who have they been playing? They're the competition they played the last week. You know, that concerned me. That they're playing mediocre teams,
on the ice surface too. That's another thing.
Yeah,
they're playing mediocre teams in a kind of mongoloid rink. You know, the travel, all those things, especially that you brought up about not playing NHL caliber type players. I mean, it can make you lazy. They looked in that last preseason game against Zug. They looked about as lazy and sloppy as I've ever seen them under Tortorella. I mean, they were just reaching and lollygagging all over the ice. I know it's preseason. I don't want to get too crazy, but again, they're starting off in Sweden. They've got to come back, play the Islanders, then go to the West Coast. There's a lot of things they got to battle through here now.
Right.
You know? So,
let me ask you this question. Did anyone impress you in this preseason? Because I'll tell you, with the exception of Anisimov, I wasn't impressed with any of their forwards. Dubinsky, I didn't think played well. I don't think Callahan. I mean, up until the last game, I don't think Callahan played well. I don't think Richardson Gabrick played well. I mean, I don't think I didn't notice any of their forwards to say, wow, he had a really good game. Other than Anisimov, I can't think of another forward that I said, wow, you know, he on Boyle. Boyle's played pretty decent. But the big guys, the big guns, I haven't seen anything from them.
I thought Ryan Bourque played okay. I think Richards and Gabrick had a good first game. After that, I don't know what happened. You know who really impressed me? I liked McElrath. I thought he had a tremendous preseason. And a horrible Traverse City, which was weird, but I have my reasons for that too. I think that him being the captain in Traverse City really weighed too much upon him. He wasn't playing his game. But you're right; nobody really stood out, you know. Especially Dubinsky, and now they're saying Dubinsky's going to start on the first line now. I didn't see why Dubinsky earned that spot. You know what?
I don't think Dubinsky earned that spot so much as Volsky lost it. They had all but handed that spot to Volsky going into camp. All he had to do was maintain, and I just think he played himself right out of it. I don't know.
But, Jimmy, how many games did he play with them, though?
One.
Two?
Oh. How many do you need?
He was hurt, too. He had the groin problem.
How many do you need? Well, I think that's part of it, too. I think that was part of it, too. I mean,
you know, they changed the life anyway 1,000 times. So, you know, you're right. It does only take one game. But still, Volsky surely didn't, I don't think, played him out of the spot. He looked pretty good when they played in that one game together. So, but, you know, who knows in Rangerland, you know. It's a whole, everything is under the, done cloak and dagger over there. Nope. Nobody really looks all that great. And that's a good
point.
What
about Zuccarello? You didn't...
He played okay, too. He played okay.
I'm looking for big things.
I was really just focusing more on their top two lines.
Right.
I don't think Gabrick's played great. I don't think Richards played great.
Don't you think it's a mistake to break up the pack line?
I would. I would leave him. I would have left that line alone. I would have. Yeah. I don't know what Brandon Dubinsky is yet. I mean, I know he's been on the team for 4 years, and we still don't know what he is. Is he a goal scorer or is he a playmaker? I don't really know. I'm still trying to figure that out because he has a pretty good shot when he hits the net. I don't think he's a great passer, nor do I think he's a sniper. So I don't know. Is he just there to kind of work the corners and get the puck to Richard? I don't really know. I don't really know. I don't know what kind of player he is. I'm kind of baffled. I don't think he earned that spot. But then again, you know, from what you guys are saying from Wolski, maybe Wolski lost it. I don't know. I just don't think that I would have left that line alone.
Tortorella, I think he said something yesterday. He said nobody else has stepped up into that line, and that he knows he's robbing Peter to pay Paul by moving Dubinsky, but just that nobody else had stepped up. And I was trying to find, there was actually something else that he had said while you guys are talking. Let me try and find, I'm trying to remember which story it was in now. I was reading so much stuff about them yesterday, but there was something else regarding that he said regarding Volsky that was just kind of weird.
They actually did play well last year together, Stefan, Zuccarello, and Volsky. You just worry about them from the defensive end because Stefan's, I guess, somewhat decent defensively. I don't know. I can't say the same about the other two guys.
He can't win a faceoff for his life.
The whole team can't, though, Eddie. I mean, you watch that first game against the Devils and the game against Philly. They lost. I can't tell you how many faceoffs in a row. I lost count. I think I lost count after 10. That one they scored right off the faceoff. It wasn't even that game. It was the Slovak game. That the guy, he beat him clean. Boom, back to the point in the net. I mean, the faceoff, I mean, they can't win if they can't win faceoffs. That's the other thing. I know we're getting way ahead of ourselves, but that was another thing I noticed in the preseason, that they just can't win faceoffs still.
Well, you're like me. You seem to be a little bit of a worrywart. That's how I am. I'm worried about everything. I want you to.
I don't know if I'd be as worried if Stahl wasn't hurt. I think Stahl being hurt, he's our best defenseman. It was almost like the year where Leach got broke. Where he broke his ankle getting out of the cab right before the season started. Was that? I'm mixing up because Leach got hurt at the beginning of the season 1 year, and I kind of felt the same way. I just hope the season doesn't end the same way. But
yeah. It was always rumored that Leach had been imbibing some alcoholic beverages that day.
Oh, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised.
But you know what this whole Stahl thing reminds me, and this is really a bummer, is the Jeff Bookaboom thing, where it was like he'll be back, and then it got postponed, and then he was retiring. You know, and I hope it doesn't go down that road, because that would be a shame, especially if they hand his idiot brother.
I'll tell you, you know, I don't ever remember concussions. I mean, I think the first guy that I remember that had the really big concussions was Eric Lindros. But before that, you didn't hear about concussions the way they are now. And I don't know if it's – they're worrying so much about the helmet. To me, I think it has more to do with the glass, and it has to do with the shoulder pads and the headshots. I mean, I can't believe how many guys are going headhunting still – with this new rule in effect, and how many suspensions have been given out during this preseason for hits to the head? I mean, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Like, all of a sudden now, maybe there's no fear anymore. I mean, when I used to play hockey, you used to never turn your back. You never turned your back
head
on a play.
Hits. Any head hit.
Exactly.
So right. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Guys maybe just aren't as fearless anymore.
The players continually, I mean, you know, in a way they are right. Some of these analysts will say, you know, you are responsible. You see the defenseman or player, they go right up against the glass with their face, you know, handling the puck, protecting the puck. And these guys, like you said, with the equipment and how fast they go, this is not like Phil Esposito, you know, gliding into you. I mean, these guys
right.
are freaking, you know, they're going 20 miles an hour and hitting you. I mean, so fast. And there's no time to think out there. People just react.
Absolutely.
So,
and the talent level is so much better. Very quickly on Sean Avery, I really don't have much to say about him. I thought he earned a spot on the team. But you cannot justify paying your 13th forward $2 million. And they've done it the last 2 years. They did it last year with Todd White. They did it the year before with Patrick Riss-Miller. You cannot waste cap space on a guy that's not going to play. You can't waste $2 million of cap space on a player that is going to play, you know, 20 games for you. You know, and they finally did it right. If he wasn't going to play, if he's not good enough to be in your starting lineup, he shouldn't be on the team. He shouldn't be on the team. No more wasting cap space. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, Todd White should have made the team last year, and he made it because of who he was and his name and everyone else. But then they were carrying almost a $2.5 million cap hit for most of the season. For what?
Right.
For what reason?
A fourth line center.
He couldn't even crack the fourth line.
I know.
I mean, to me, what they did with Avery was we finally got it right. They're not wasting cap space on a guy that's not going to play.
I mean, I can name a couple. Remember that Tyler Arneson guy they had for $1 million? Another complete wastoid. Like, you know.
Aaron Foros.
Oh, God. And now, what do you guys think about this? Let me throw this at you. With the departure of Dale Weiss being claimed by Vancouver, would you have liked to see Dale Weiss maybe in that Avery spot now? There seems to be some kind of disconnect with the front office there. You know, why didn't they just waive?
Listen to this.
Wait a minute. Breaking news.
This was in Larry. I didn't see this story today. Larry,
I could probably teach you a few things. Like, you know, some positions and moves.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. Chris Hansen, ladies and gentlemen. Perhaps Glenn Sather might want to check with his coach on this one, but the general manager told the Post that Sean Avery could play his way back to the Rangers from the AHL Whale if indeed that's where the exiled winger lands after clearing waivers. Of course, we could recall him if he's in Hartford and earns that, Sather said as the Rangers skated on an NHL-sized rink for the first time in 9 days. You never know. Somebody could play his way off this team. I think Sean has been a good player for us, but you'd have to get the perspective from the coaches on that.
there you go. That rift is there, that rift.
I mean, it's very just strange comments from both of them. I don't know.
They're disagreeing. They are. It's a heated discussion between Magoo and...
And the Fonz.
And the Fonz. I mean, that's what's going on, you know? I don't
think that Tortorella didn't have a say in the whole Paul Mara thing, too. I mean, for whatever reason, Sava has an obsession with Paul Mara. And
Tortorella probably said, I'd rather have Paul Lynn than Paul Mara. I'd rather have John Mara than Paul Mara.
Oh, my God.
Torch is probably like, that ship has sailed. And, you know, he knows a lot about shipping because Torch is a pirate himself.
He's got the playoff beard. It's a gray beard, and gray beard was a scheming pirate.
Arr. No poor mirror for you, Magoo.
Gar, Glenn.
No, there she blows. No, Paul Mara blows.
All right, Rock, we're going to get a couple other calls in. But,
all right, boys. Good
talking
to you,
time.
And hopefully we'll talk again with a couple of wins under our belt.
All right, take
care.
Be good, boys.
All
Later.
Well, I think at this point we can officially consider the Pens blog guys out. I guess they're not showing.
Okay, well.
So screw the Penguins. All right. And I see James is on hold, but Mandar's been holding for a long time, so let's bring Mandar on. Mandar, good evening. How are you?
Good evening, gentlemen. My goodness, listening to that past call without the wonderful Mark Stahl, who I, of course, have said prior how much we'll miss him, but my goodness, how can we solve the issue of the first line and having Dubinsky in there, and why is he there, and the Dell Weiss let go, and Sean Avery, how can we let him go? He was going to be our 14th forward on the 7th line. Oh, my God. You guys, stop. Just stop. Think about you got a team where you can roll out four lines. There's not one rookie forward on this team right now to worry about. Yes, the defense is going to be a little bit weaker without our number one cog, Mark Stahl. But Mark Stahl is not going to be there. Last year we had Callahan, Dubinsky, Gabrick out at the same time. We managed to beat the number one team in the NHL and shut them out. And now we're worried, oh, my goodness, Mark Stahl's not in there. The ship's falling. We didn't sign Sean Avery. It's a conspiracy theory. My goodness. Nobody wanted him on the team. What happened? Was there sloppy thirds involved?
Yes. We all know the Rangers. Just awesome history dealing with adversity. I mean, you know, last year, okay, they dealt with it. So now, all of a sudden, we're on a streak, Mandar. Now we're going to deal with all this adversity. It's, Mark Stahl, 30 minutes a game. Come on now.
I don't debate Mark Stahl at all. But what the bitching I've seen on websites about the Sean Avery, who did this and that, and oh my goodness, Eric Christensen is going to be the first guy in if somebody gets hurt. That's the big problem we're talking about?
Listen,
The people are questioning Dubinsky on the first line, where he fits in a lot better than Wolski did. I like Wolski, but that gives you three finesse forwards and no physical presence. Doesn't it kind of make sense to have a Dubinsky on that first line? And that second line, you know, I think right now they're trying to plug in Fedotenko on that second line. Fedotenko could go on any line. My goodness, we have four solid lines at this point, and people are bitching, well, how did Christensen make it over Avery? How can we let Dale Weiss go to Vancouver? Oh, my goodness, we sent down Newberry. Whatever. Guys bitching about the last forward to make the Black Aces. We got to find something to bitch about.
Are you done?
No, I'm not. I'm not. It's unbelievable.
First of all, let me address.
Go. Address, please.
I am going to address you.
Okay.
Maybe undress you later if you're a good boy. Do not compare the people of the underground radio ilk, our contingent, our Facebook group, as these people you see on the boards. This is a well-educated group with a good sense of humor, so I find offense. I take offense for the whole crew on that. I don't think anybody that's called this show has said, well, actually, somebody did get called an ass for tearing Avery a new one last week by somebody. But I'm worried because, I'm going to say what I think is these. I'm not worried that the fourth line is not going to be effective for the 3 minutes they play, but you know what? I would like to see you do the prudent thing no matter what. If injuries happen, now, all right, you can't bring Sean Avery. The coach hates him. You don't have Dale Weiss to bring up. I know it's not the end of the world that Dale Weiss is not a Ranger anymore. Life goes on. They're interchangeable. But I want somebody serviceable. And I'm not worried. And as far as Dubinsky goes, I think a lot of people didn't see anything from Dubinsky in the preseason to warrant that he'd be there. Just makes sense. I just want you to make sense. The Ranger fan deserves to have things make sense to them coming from the Ranger manager.
I don't doubt you, but what I wonder is, what were your expectations out of preseason? That all the Rangers would be stars and we'd be winning, you know, we'd be putting 10 goals in the net?
Well, when they're playing Glenn Metropolitan, and the rest of the NHL castoffs in Europe, they should be dominating. And they went 3-1 or whatever they went. You know, they should be a little bit more dominant, especially when we have all this supposed, like, big ice players. You know, Zuccarello is the big ice player. We got some Eric Christensen is supposed to be, you know, an offensive juggernaut.
We're also supposed to have an NHL goalie in net also for that game, too. It didn't seem like we did.
So I think there's a little bit to worry about. And if you think that not fixing these fourth line problems, it's just, well, we'll just leave caution to the wind.
I don't see a fourth line problem. You're talking about a 13th or 14th forward. You tell me who Avery or Weiss right now would have beaten over the top four line guys. Give me who they're beating out of those 12 forwards.
Well,
right.
What I'm saying is, when injuries happen like they did last year, it's Chad Kolarik time. It's Chris Newberry time.
It's Ryan Bourque time.
Well, yeah, Ryan Bourque impressed. But I still think that, and listen, I didn't think Dale Weiss had a good preseason. I thought that, again, I'm not championing Dale Weiss. I just can't.
Eddie? I'll agree with you one thing. If our worst problems are what happens if a guy gets hurt and we need to bring up a guy to play on the fourth line, then I think this puts us in pretty good shape rather than pretty bad shape.
Yeah. What happens if Brad Richards gets hurt? Well, what happens if we lose?
And you mean having Dale Weiss in the lineup would have made you felt good about that?
No. What I'm saying is this team does not address issues as far as offensively it goes. They have all interchangeable robots that are fourth line players in that minor league. If they ever lose an offensive player, this brings me all the way back to the Grotchev thing, which I'm still pissed about, is that we don't develop offensive talent in the minors. And
right.
God forbid any of these guys go down, we have nothing. We have nothing. And if I'm worried about the fourth line, I'd like to see a fourth line guy develop. The fact that Eric Christensen is on this team, I mean, it's a joke. It's a joke. And, and all the other arguments, with the Dale Weiss. So listen, I'm not a Dale Weiss fan. I can't believe I'm saying his name 15 times during the show. It just, why not keep Dale Weiss and waive Avery? Do some, waive Avery, then decide on Weiss. But they just cut Weiss.
Dale Weiss bail on this show twice, by the way?
But you but if you're saying they're all interchangeable, who cares if Dale Weiss is the one to go? And if a Brad Richards goes down, there ain't nobody you're going to bring up that's going to go ahead and fill that in. So you're going to be in scramble mode just like we were last year. That's why, to me, the argument is insane about what happens with Avery, Christensen, Weiss, Newberry, all the fun. And you're right, they haven't developed them because all they've tried to develop over the last, prior to the last two drafts has been the defense. All right, you drafted a bunch of good defense, but you have them coming up and going through. Now you're drafting, the Kreiders and the Millers, and those two guys hopefully will be, the next two guys that step up when we have our older players like Fedotenko finally, get out of the lineup and like that. So
just bothers me, Mandar, it bothers me when I see the incredible Dan Weiss, the pride of Manitoba, goes on waivers, and the Vancouver Canucks, the Stanley Cup runner-ups, they jump all over him.
Yeah, after 29 other teams passed them.
Right. I don't care. The Canucks picked them up.
So is that more of a statement on him or the Canucks?
It's a statement on the Canucks that they actually could see this guy might be serviceable somewhere down the line, whereas the New York Rangers don't. I have a problem with the Rangers' AHL system.
So you're worried that Dale Weiss is going to score 20 goals and everybody's going to say, are we lamenting the loss of P.A. Parento because he had that many goals with the Islanders last year?
I knew that was
coming. Come on. It's the same argument.
No. You just twisted it around. Now you're just going crazy with it. It's my frustration with this organization. See? That even rhymes. I sound like Jesse Jackson. I just
Jets Jackson reference.
The frustration with this organization is that
the question is moved
right from college to the team, and that's your offense. Like Kreider's going to go, and just no offense in the AHL to be seen. Just a truckload of defensemen who obviously aren't good enough to beat out Jeff Wisemirski, whatever his name is there. So yeah, you made some good arguments there, and yeah, I'm glad you took me to task. But bottom line is, I think the Rangers are going to struggle out of the gate. I think
they're going to struggle with the Kings and the Ducks because they're skating teams, and at this point, the Rangers' defense will have a problem without that'll be the biggest glaring thing with Staal is that he's not going to be able to shut down, a guy like Corey Perry or Bobby Ryan from crashing the net or the new forwards they got there in L.A. It's going to be more of a challenge because we're going to miss him there. So, yeah, I agree with you. It'll be there. But you have hopefully the equalizer in Lundqvist playing in Sweden. Hopefully that does a little bit for him there. And we're not going to be out of a game because of that. And Lord help us, our second defense pair is going to really just, give us fits. But hopefully number four has something to offer. I'm trying to be optimistic here. I'm trying to be optimistic here.
Oh, wait a minute. Now I've heard the hypocrisy of it all now.
Oh, no. You see, now I never want him. No. I said
You're a champion of Michael Belzato now, I hear.
Talk about twisting words. I said I hope he has something to offer. I will never root against anybody with the Rangers logo or the Rangers on the front of the crest. But I don't believe it. I'm saying I hope there's something there because now he's a second pair guy. I don't have confidence there is, but I hope that there's something comes out of it.
Mandar, if you think the Rangers are only going to struggle against two teams, if Michael Delzato is on the second pair, I mean, really.
I tell you, I think our forward lines are as such that they can shut down another team's forward lines toe-to-toe, any team in this league, and that includes the flavor of the moment, Penguins, because everybody thinks that Malkin's coming back from his knee surgery at 100% and that nobody's going to touch Sidney's head when he gets back. And that ragtag defensive core.
I hope you're right. This has become the Ed and Mandar show. This is like the old Ranger Crisis show. Jim's talking about baseball.
Well, the Yankees are bringing in a pitcher every inning, so it's kind of fun to watch. But
what's the score in that game?
It's 2-0 Detroit.
2-0 Detroit. Looks like the Tigers have a man on second.
Yeah, but the Yankees. Okay. Yeah, but whatever.
Well, I was talking baseball because I just happened to – I clicked over to see what the score of the game was, and then I saw a headline that Robin Ventura was named manager of the White Sox today, and so I mentioned that in the chat room. And good for him.
Let me ask you this. We have any other calls, or I can
James
go
is,
out of
– James is holding.
Oh, yeah, okay. Mandar, let me just
ask – Return of James.
Let me just wanted to ask you – we had Kevin Kness on before, as you heard, and he said that the Devils will be the worst team in the tri-state area. How are you ranking them?
What are you trying to beat me now? I think they're going to be on par with the Islanders. But if you put gun to my head, I would probably think that the Islanders probably have more points than the Devils. They just don't have any forward depth. And their defense, like he mentioned, Andy Green's your number one defenseman. I think Larson's got a great future. I think the kid's a great defenseman. But Marty's not getting any younger, and he wasn't stellar last year.
Not thinner either.
Yeah, and you know what? And they actually have a backup goalie who's even older than him that they would rely on for over 30 starts? Come on. So I don't see them having a strength in any area of the ice, so it's going to take something extraordinary for them to climb into a playoff spot, in my opinion, and it'd be even more than Fatso standing on his head. They'd have to get 70 goals from Kovalchuk to even sniff a playoff spot.
Wow! I'm the only one.
I just don't see it.
Okay, all right, fair enough. We Well, I like how you came out of the gate. You're fast and furious. You came out with opinions. You exploded on us. In a good way. With your fatherly juices. I try to find that clip.
I like the guy on your website. You guys have the blurbs from everybody. That's pretty cool, except for the Eric
fatherly one. Juices.
The Eric one's disturbing, though, but other than that.
The Eric?
Yeah.
Which one's that?
Oh, that's the, oh, brother.
Oh, brother.
Yeah.
Oh, brother.
Yeah.
That is creepy. It reminds me of something out of Ghost Hunters.
If you go to the website, Blue Shirt Underground, we have the soundboard for, I think 12 clips there that you can play and just amuse yourself for hours and hours. We do on the show. I think this is a good time for me to take a drink break and for us to play a commercial before we get to James. What do you think?
Sure. Do you have it ready or?
No, I don't. Let's see.
I got it.
Okay.
I got it. Here we go.
Blue Shirt Underground Radio fans, the 2011-2012 season of Ranger Hockey is upon us, and we'd like to unveil the inaugural Blue Shirt Underground Radio T-shirt. This magnificent and wondrous royal blue T-shirt has print on both the front and the back. How's that for state of the art? On the front of the shirt, it identifies you as a listener of the most subversive Ranger broadcast out there, Blue Shirt Underground Radio. And on the back of the shirt, it exclaims proudly, "Can you hear us?" This must-have shirt is available in all men's sizes and costs only $15. $17 will get you the shirt shipped to anywhere in North America. How's that for a fucking deal? If you'd like to take a gander at what the shirt looks like before you buy it, go to BlueShirtUnderground.com. If you want to pay by PayPal, there's a way to do it right there on the page. The best way to get this transaction of a lifetime started is email. Simply email Eddie@RangerCrisis.com and he'll help you get the ball rolling in acquiring this exclusive in-demand item. Show the entire hockey world that you're part of an informative, no-nonsense, uncensored radio program. Blue Shirt Underground Radio, the one true voice of the Rangers fan.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
James, welcome back.
Hey, guys, what's up?
How are you doing, bro?
I'm okay. How about you? How you guys doing?
Doing good. We missed you.
Man, I know it's been a long time. I mean, you guys got a new name, and you got commercials and T-shirts.
I know. It's crazy. We're a conglomerate over here.
Hey, let me ask you guys a question. Does this phone I'm talking on sound like shit or no?
Nope. You sound great.
Okay, listen. If I cut off, I'll call up on my other phone because I have that one charging. My kids are on the other one all day, so... I got these batteries that keep dying out.
Ah.
So I don't want you to think I just hung up and left you high and dry. I wouldn't do that. You know, Eddie knows I wouldn't do that.
I know. James is good. James is good that way. So James, right. What's going on? I know me and you and even Jim too. We worry. We always expect the worst when it comes to the Rangers. How are you feeling right now about the whole?
I'm not going to worry. You know, I've done enough worry. You guys know I've done enough worrying with my family
right. These
past few months. So there's been a lot of worrying going on. But I didn't get to see much of the preseason. I saw just a little bit. I'm not going to worry yet. Yeah, Stahl is a big loss. I mean, and we don't know how long it's going to be. So we're just going to have to get used to it, and hope the other guys step up and just take care of things, and like some of you guys said, hopefully the forwards will come back and play, some have to play more of a defensive style, and That's what we got to hope for. You know, we got to hope that these guys mesh. And preseason, to me, it's always so hard because there's so many different lineups and different guys and all these different numbers and stuff. And me, you know, I haven't really gotten a chance to look at it. And you know, like, you know, once the team is set and I get to see a couple of the, you know, the first few three, four, five games and see who's playing with who and how they're starting to click or if they're not clicking, you know, I'll have a better idea. But right now, I'm just gonna, you know, basically say, okay, it is what it is. You know, we can't do nothing right now. And, you know, so Avery, you know, he's not here, you know, they sent him down now. He's in Hartford now, right?
Yeah,
apparently.
Well, we think.
Yeah, I think he cleared waivers and stuff, but, you know, and so you know, he wasn't the way, I don't know, the first couple of years when he played, man, that guy played every game, but I remember last season, the guy was, like, not doing anything. He wasn't scoring, he wasn't being that, you know, pain in the ass, get under your skin type self, and he wasn't doing that. And, you know, if he's not going to be that player, you know, and make a difference, then, hey, you know, what can we do? But I'm with you, Eddie. I, the Grachev move pissed me off, too. I was waiting for Grachev, too. So I'm just like you are. And let's see, I'm trying to think of anybody. You said McElrath. I thought he played excellent. Who's going to be the second pair defenseman right now?
Well, it looks like it's going to be Delgado and Sauer.
Now, Sauer, I know he was hurt. Is he okay now, or he's still injured right now?
Huh. Let's see. I don't know.
I'm lost, man. I'm trying to get info from you guys. I have plenty to input to you guys this time.
Well, you know, getting info from the range, as you know,
yeah.
as the Thompson Twins have said many times during this broadcast, trying to figure out who's injured and who's not is always a problem.
Yeah. You know what this reminds me of? Sometimes I wonder if they don't have the Mets medical staff and gets everything all screwed up and don't know who's going to come back and they have everything all fucked up and they don't know, you know, who's hurt and how long they're going to be out for. Like, Ike Davis is going to miss 2 weeks.
Or 6 months, whichever comes first.
Yeah, exactly, right? So it's like, it's almost like the same thing, you know. I'm waiting for Stahl, yeah. You know, from... You know, I guess the hit last year and stuff, and you're like, all right, hopefully, you know, this, the off season he'll be okay, and you hear all good things, and all of a sudden, once preseason rolled around, no good.
Yeah,
he's not ready. He's not making the trip. Now he's not going to be ready for the start of the season. So, you know, so to me, like, I'm just going to go at it, saying, you know, who the hell knows when we're going to see him, if at all. You know, you look at Crosby, whatever we want to call him. That guy hasn't been around in a while either. And these hits to the head, I mean, there's a lot. I mean, we've all seen them in preseason, too. I mean, a lot of these guys are targeting their heads, man. I don't understand it. I mean, when we used to watch those games back then, and there wasn't, you know.
Head
I
hits.
Mean, yeah,
any head hit.
Yeah,
that's
I
right.
mean, those guys had more. I mean, I get when you don't play with helmets, I guess when most of the guys don't, I think there's more of a respect factor on the ice because you know a guy is, you know. Isn't protected, and if you could get a good hit on him, a good clean legal check, you'll do it. But you're not going to go targeting a head. Where now, you know, because the guy's wearing a helmet, you're going to lead with the elbow or a shoulder, right in the jaw or right in the head, whatever it is, you know. And so, you know, I'm seeing all of this stuff happening too, and you know, so it's like there's so many things going on, and you know, like even with Stahl, you know, and you look at the concussions, and you know, I heard, you know, everything Mandal was saying too about, you know, all these guys, and he's right, you know, right now and stuff. You know, they had a 3-1, you know, 3-1 preseason there in Europe, and you know, we should have blown them out, yeah, totally blown them out of the water. But you know what? When you have all different lineups and stuff coming, and guys coming in and out trying to make the team, and I think the guys, of course, who are trying to make the team are gonna, you know, most of the time play hard, and the guys who know that. You know, they're on the team. They have nothing to worry about. It's preseason. They're not gonna, you know, they're not gonna force the issue, in my opinion.
Yeah, I certainly agree with you there. As far as I felt like the team never played together.
Right.
As if I felt like they had three different squads, and I think that can hurt you. And but who knows? They may come together under this. You know, apparently Mandar thinks the Rangers are great against controversy now, the adversity, because of last year they played through some injuries. But we've seen many times the Rangers wilt under the threat of adversity.
Yeah, many times.
But this is
right,
a new this is a new age. This is a new era. The Rangers have gone out, and this is a reason
era.
Why I think era.
Era.
They've got some heady, disciplined players, And this is the reason that Sean Avery's not on the team, why John Tortorella doesn't want him on the team. But I still don't understand why Eric Christensen is on this team. Is it the fact that he can provide offense? He's one of the few guys that can provide offense in theory? I don't know. I don't have the answer to that.
Yeah, well, Chris, I'm trying to think. If I remember, he scored like 10 or 12 goals last year, something like that. So I'm trying to think, but I don't have nothing in front of me right now. So I'm just trying to go by memory. I think he scored like 10 goals or something, 10, 12 goals. And I'm always looking at like those plus-minus things. I don't remember him being a minus, but, if we have somebody who's going to, come in there and, take the job, I mean, somebody's going to get injured along the line. We know that. I mean, that just happens. And the next guy that comes up, you never know. If Christensen's crapping out during the season and stuff, that guy might stay up, and whoever gets back, then he's gone. I mean, if I were a player, man, I'd be fighting every night for my job, I'd be doing whatever the hell I can. So if these guys want to cruise on through and thinking that it's like the country club it used to be, let them think that, because I don't think they're going to, put up with that anymore. I mean, we've seen the change. We've seen the youth come up. We've seen, otherwise we would have had Yager back again. I mean, if it was back that whole way, let's sign that guy. And, 38 years old, no problem, So I'm gonna just just thinking like the way Tatsy says it, what it is, just see what happens. Let's start the season and see how they get together and see who gels and who doesn't and, who's going to move around.
I like it. Yeah. James is taking the Alfred E. Newman approach.
Yeah, you have to. Time of the year, I think you have to. I mean, like you said, the only main problem right now, is the stall situation to me. I mean, there's a guy who, like you said, logs watch 25, 30 minutes a night, and, that's a big loss. And nobody's going to, do what he does. So, we're just going to have to, sit there and, hope his replacement is, I don't know who's replacing him as of right now, but... it depends. Like I say, if Sau is out or is he still injured, I don't know.
Sau is going to play.
He's going to play.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, we still have Girardi. Remember that. Don't forget that. Yeah.
Well, my question is, how good is Girardi without Stahl? I mean,
exactly. That's
it. I always look at the glass half empty before the season. I get very nervous, and like you said, it's more important things to be nervous about. But in my sports world, this is what I get nervous about.
This is your – yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But you know what,
man?
Yeah, it's like I used to be – I was a lot that way too, and I used to think about it all the time. And then I would think to myself, it's the same thing every year. So why get myself worked up about it? Let me wait and see what happens. And, there's some years – remember back when we missed 7 years in a row, we didn't make the playoffs, and we had all those high hopes because we had all those names and stuff, So now, I like the addition of Richards. I mean, I think he's going to help Gabrick big time. And hopefully Gabrick will score 40 goals again, and Richards could pop in 20 goals or so. We don't have to worry about Drury screwing up anymore, at least there's some changes. Some changes were made, I think, for the better. I think we'll be, I'm hoping we're in the top 4 or 5 in the conference. I mean, I don't see why not, unless there's some kind of, they just totally screw up, or Hank gets injured. That, knock on wood, he doesn't, but that would be the only reason why.
Right. I'm feeling more confident. Now that I've heard you and Mandar saying we've got good forwards, he's tricked me into that. You're making some real sense.
You don't know, but me and Mandar, we've been talking, we've been talking all week long to saying how we're going to screw your mind up,
Is this what... Is this like an intervention for me tonight? Down the ledge? Oh, boy.
Yeah, I think we'll be okay. I do. I think we'll be okay. I mean, I ain't going to worry that much right now. I mean, yeah, there's some things that I'm concerned about, everybody mentioned, we all mentioned. But I'm going to just, take it in and see who's who. Because right now and stuff, I know now the numbers are going to change. And me, man, I'll be looking. I'm getting to be an old man now, And it's like, we're looking around, who's that now? Number what? Number 67 is now what, 12 or something, So, that's me, I'll be like, I'm trying to look in on you, what the hell's going on. But, years ago, when I had all the time, I knew everything. Now I'm like, I'm lost somewhat,
Well, I find myself, I don't know if you watch any of the preseason games, but now Brad Richards is now 19, right?
19, right.
Okay. So that means Fedotenko is 26, which used to be Christensen's number.
Right. That's where I'm getting all messed up. And I think Fedotenko's been playing. I don't know, that guy always plays well for some reason. Every time I watch that guy, he plays well.
Yeah.
And I remember him back, you know, with Tampa Bay and stuff, saying this guy's pretty decent, you know. And I like the pickup of Rupp. I mean, the guy could play. He's not, you know, he's not going to just screw things up. I mean, the guy can actually play a little bit, and he could, you know, use the hands good and whack some people around, and you know. I like the pickup. I think we had a good off season. I mean, there wasn't a whole roster changeover, but I think the few moves they made, I think, were pretty good.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it that they made the right moves. And now Christensen's 40.
40,
you know, right?
Yeah, I think you're right.
That will take me about. I'd say about a month to get there.
Yeah, I still think Pavlich is 40, you know, and then I remember Pavlich changed to 16, so, you know, I still remember these things. So, you know, I can still picture these old guys and stuff, and that's why I'm totally messed up now, you know. The brains aren't as good as they used to be, you know. You know, as a kid, man, you have no pressure about anything, you know. You could sit there and look at the Ranger lineup, and you could sit there. I could sit there and talk about everything that's going on, and now I'm looking around like, you know, like I said, I'm partially lost after, you know, like I said, I had a, you know, personally, you know, bad 6 months or so, and I wasn't into much, you know, much things that were going on, and I've just now, you know, just starting to take a look at it, and I noticed the moves, you know, the major moves. So, like I said, I'm just going to try to be a little positive, you know. I'm not going to say, yeah, we're going to go out and win a Stanley Cup, but if we do, man, hey, that means everybody did something great, you know. And if we, you know, hopefully if we could do play well this year and stuff, and maybe there's only a piece or two away next year, who knows? I mean, yeah, I would love to have that defenseman that's going to, you know, maybe a younger type, Chris Pronger type. I would love to have that, but, you know. I think that's something that we could use. Richards is going to run the power play, right? He's going to play the point, right?
Yep.
So we have somebody. So we have somebody running the point on the power play, which is good. And you know, it looks like we, with that one move, you know, we solidified the first line. We took care of, you know, look at the power play that I saw. Like I said, I didn't see much, but what I did see, they moved the puck well and they had a lot of shots.
Right.
I don't know if you guys know
that. Well, he does.
Yeah, I've seen the power play look better with him on the point there. You know, I've seen shots go by. You know, and one of the games, Richards, I didn't think he played, and they were moving the puck around pretty good, getting some shots, and you know, they looked, I don't know, everything looked a little quicker, a little crisper. You know, even though it was preseason, but you know, I'm just hoping that tomorrow, you know, I know LA is fast, and you know, they're supposed to be pretty good, and you know, we'll wait tomorrow 1 o'clock, and we'll see if we can come out. Hopefully, we can come out with some jump, and you know, not sit back and let them dictate anything, and you know, let's you know. Think positive and come out with win number one.
Yeah, I hope so. And, you know, hopefully they can get it together and face this adversity. Now, Jim tells me we have the Flyer guy on, Flyer analyst. So
Jeff Detweiler is on hold.
Oh, sure. No problem, guys. No problem.
When it cut you loose, but James, thanks so much for the Facebook messages and joining us. And all the best to your family and your daughter.
Oh, same to you, man. I'm sorry for, you know, the problem, you know, your family with your cousin. I feel real bad about that. I'm sorry about that. And, yeah, and I thank you guys, and you guys are all supportive, and I appreciate it. And the people, you know, everybody who's listening, I got a lot of nice, you know, notes on Facebook and stuff of wishing my daughter well and all that stuff. And I appreciate it all to everybody. And I missed you guys. I'm glad that I'll be able to call in, you know, now and, you know, get back into the season. And, you know, let's go Rangers, man. Well, I'll call him tomorrow.
You got it. All right, James.
All right, guys. Have a good one. Good to talk
to you.
You too. All right. Bye. Bye-bye.
All right. That was James reappearing. It's been a while. It's good to talk to him. Now, let's welcome in from Broad Street Hockey, Jeff Detweiler. Jeff's been on the show with us before, and he's going to give us his thoughts on the Philadelphia Flyers for the upcoming season. Jeff, Jim, and Eddie, good evening. Welcome back, and congrats on the opening night win, huh?
Yeah, thank you. It's good to be back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched the first period of the game, and I got to tell you, I was a little, I watched the Flyers a little trepidation, and then I started to see it gel, and, you know, I'm, again, like Jim said, congratulations on the first victory, I think. I don't remember. It's hard for me to congratulate a Flyer fan, but listen, right
gotta
now.
Gotta be nice to get.
Right. That's what I'm saying. You got to be nice there. Right now it's early in the season. The blood isn't really fully rushing right now. So, We're glad to have you aboard, and this is going to be a Flyer undefeated season. What's going on?
Oh, just right.
Yeah, I was going to say, just like that commercial. Hopefully, I don't have to see that commercial again, though.
Yeah, that makes two of them.
Yeah, it was a little bit too much. As soon as that commercial started airing, every game, they started slumping. So, a little superstitious here.
It's like being on the cover of SI, right?
Pretty much, yeah, and Madden.
Yeah, yeah, that's another one.
The Verizon curse.
So last talked to you, I guess we had you on right after the Flyers overhaul. You came on with us. So now that the season's here and you've had a chance to settle in with this new team, how are you feeling about the makeup of the Flyers this year?
Well, actually, I didn't really get a chance to settle in because they made moves. Was it yesterday? Blair Betts got claimed.
Yeah.
Old friend, both teams. Still a little surprised at that fact, but
Ranger fans are still mourning his loss.
Yeah, I don't know why you guys let him go, and I don't know why we let him go either.
I don't know why we let him go. He was a Rennie guy, and when Torts came in, he just wasn't a Torts guy. Yeah, probably not physical enough. Although he's a master penalty killer. I mean, the guy is a terrific penalty killer. You don't get, but other than that, that's all he is, really. You know,
he did a good job 2 years ago when he was paired with Ian LaPerriere. Those two took some pretty big minutes at 5-on-5. And last year, even while he was stuck with Jody Shelley, another former friend, they kind of had to shelter Betts and Shelley, but he still got some pretty nasty defensive minutes. But yeah, last year he was relegated to PK only. But he has value at 5-on-5. He can play against second and third line competition, mostly third, in tough minutes, you know, giving guys ahead of him a break. But for that cheap, I'll take 10 minutes a night.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I guess my first question to you is this, and I know before Jim goes into his show and does his whole thing with you, I'd like to get some questions in. Flyers obviously acquired the big shakeup. They get Braden Shen. I know he was hurt in the preseason, and then he was sent to Adirondack. Why did he make the team? Was it basically because he was injured or numbers or what?
It was numbers. Because there's no bonus cushion this year, on day one, he had a $3.1 million cap hit as a result of the bonuses. But it came out, CapGeek broke the story, that in his contract, he had roughly $1.4 million in bonuses that required him to be in the lineup all 82 games. So they sent him down for the first game, and they basically cut his cap hit in half. So his injury didn't help, but they just saved $1.4 million by sending him to Adirondack. He'll be back up eventually. It's just a matter of how they get him in and when.
Okay.
But it's a lot easier now that his cap hit will be $1.7 million. Which is what Matt Walker makes. And he's the seventh defenseman.
All right, Jim, take over.
That's it, you've had enough?
No. Well, I had some more questions. You know, they were talking up this guy, Matt Reed, tonight. They seem to really like this guy. What's the creepy guy's name there? Pierre? Who's the guy? McGuire, the creepo there, that bullhead.
Yeah.
He was saying that possibly Matt Reed could win the Rookie of the Year. Now, there are a lot of good rookies out there this year. I haven't heard Matt Reed's name yet. Is that a little bit overstepping by the bald bastard, or is Matt Reed really got the jam, as Tortorella says?
I think it is overstepping, but
McGuire saying that is now the second national hockey writer to say it. Bob McKenzie of TSN went on Twitter and said that, I believe that was Tuesday. But yeah, Reed is a 25-year-old rookie. He spent 4 years at Bemidji State. He was the captain. He was, I think, runner of the consolation prize to Stéphane DaCosta last year as the undrafted free agents. And they're looking to him as kind of a third-line, two-way threat who is really fast and has some hands. I'm not sure how he's going to fit in for the entire season, but they like that he has defensive talent and offensive skill.
Right. Okay. Well, there's somebody to watch then. And,
yeah, his NHL equivalencies put him at 32 points on the year. So, he's 25, which kind of throws those numbers off a little bit because most college kids don't jump to the NHL that old. But 30 to 40 points is about what could be expected of him.
Okay. Well, that's pretty decent for a rookie.
Yeah, not bad at all, especially for an undrafted one.
Yeah, certainly.
Yeah.
All right, Jim, go ahead, ask some questions. I'm done.
Jeff, I wanted to get your take on the Simmons and Avery thing that went on last week during the preseason game.
Okay.
Simmons, at least from what most people saw in the video, everybody except NHL, used a slur towards Avery. I kind of think Simmons got a break because of what happened the week before. I think he kind of got a pass a little bit. Just give me your take on it, on that whole situation. As a Flyer fan, and I'm sure an Avery hater, I'd like to get your opinion on the whole thing.
Well, I do not particularly care for Avery, but
no,
he
really?
Did. I don't hate him as much as most people do. I have a dislike for him, but he did gain a lot of my respect in coming out this last, I think it was this last offseason, and doing the It Gets Better campaign.
Right.
I think hockey really does need someone to take the forefront of that, and I wish it would have been someone other than Avery. But it loses a little bit of credibility when it comes from him. But with Simmons,
plus you just didn't want to see him do something that you'd have to admire him for.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. It's kind of thrown off my hatred a little bit. But like you said, everyone except for the NHL knows what he said. I'm not naive to think that that is a rarity on the ice, that players don't shout that word frequently or even use more offensive language. But he was caught on camera saying it. There were no microphones, so there was no audio, although there has been speculation that HBO had some microphones down on the rink that night. It doesn't really matter to me. I think the NHL missed an opportunity there. It's one thing to try to police what players say, but it's another to have the public perception be that the NHL condones that language. And my big thing was that if there were any teenagers who happened to be homosexual and they play hockey and they're ostracized in the locker room or they hear that word get thrown around, well, they now just had half of the hockey world tell them that it's okay for players to use that slur on the ice towards other players. And if that guy needs to be protected by his teammates and those teammates are using that word, how does that make the player feel? Is it going to prevent them from going back and playing hockey? Is it going to make their life even worse? I'm just worried about the 15-year-old who hasn't come out yet, and that's going to make it harder for him to enjoy playing hockey. So I think the
NHL
missed an opportunity there.
That's a good point.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that the NHL should ban certain words, but when you get caught on camera saying it, the NHL should at least take a stand and say, this isn't acceptable. Don't get caught.
Right, especially when he didn't deny it.
At the bare minimum. Especially when he did it what? I'm sorry?
He didn't deny it. when they asked him about it after the game.
Yes, and then the next morning he flatly denied it, which...
Right.
Yeah.
Which looked worse.
Yeah. Because yeah. that, you know, he's saying that because somebody told him, look, they can't do anything because there's no proof.
But the fact was, there was proof. I mean, we all saw, and the NHL said they couldn't find proof. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, it doesn't take Helen Keller to figure out what he said. I mean, you know, I mean, this is not, you know, this is, I think it's just kind of like an old boys network over there where that is acceptable, which, like you said, is should be irreprehensible. It shouldn't be tolerated.
I agree 100%.
You know? So, again, you know, the NHL caught in a lie.
Yes. They were saying.
Sorry. I can't resist playing that clip tonight.
You have sound effects?
Oh, yeah, you have no idea what goes on this show.
I really don't.
You have no idea what goes on the you want to wait, how about a little Mike Emmerich for you? we can give you a little Sam Rosen. Here.
Fatherly juices.
Here, you want to hear really bad Sam Rosen goal call?
And the deflection and score! Score!
We don't really have the dramatic player.
Yeah, we could do a whole score.
I just picture you in a radio booth right now with a big board on you, and right in front of you, just touching these little clips.
Now, I'm in a spare bedroom in front of a laptop with a bunch of files to click on. Pretty much same thing for Eddie.
Yes.
Oh, you got to play it up. You have this big booth. You have this big studio.
Now, I sometimes turn the video on. People can watch me on video while we do the show, and they know I'm sitting in it. It's no secret.
You can hear Joe Micheletti actually say shit on the air. Yeah, it is
one. Now, the Rangers with four forwards on the ice. Fake shot, and then Yager with the shot there. And you can see Kolzig, who's big and strong. He takes up a lot of space, and there's a broken broken stick. And Sutterby, you can see, was in perfect positioning. And there you see.
Broken shit. I mean, stick.
Not only do we have all these sound clips, Jeff, we actually have sound clips of some of our callers, just funny things that they've said or done, and then we'll replay that. I mean, it's completely insane what goes on this program.
You're a legitimate radio show.
No, we're hardly that.
We strive to be. So what's going on with the Flyers? I mean, you guys want to know, how did Brizgalov look today? And are we still worried about his 31-year contract up there?
Some of us are worried. I was working today, so I didn't get to see much of the game at all.
The only goal he gave up, he really didn't have much chance on. It was a nice pass by Sagan, I think, to Marchand. And he didn't have much chance on that. I guess a better question is, they seem to... Claude Giroux has kind of made Richards expendable, I guess. Do you think he's do you think he's ready to be the number one guy up there?
I actually do, but I am a little bit worried that he doesn't have any help. Richards always had Carter, whose defensive game was always underappreciated by Philadelphia fans. And while Richards did a lot of the work, he was mostly used as a third-line center the past couple of years because Briere had to be the offensive guy and Carter was there to play a two-way as well. But Giroux doesn't really have that this year, not with Couturier being the third-line center and Talbot as the fourth line. So I think he can take over that first-line center position, or at least, you know, first, most important guy. I'm looking for him to have a little bit of help, and I don't think Yager gives him that on the wing. But if Couturier is what everyone says he can be now, I think that the loss of Richards and Carter is going to be much, much it's not going to be nearly as bad as we all expect it to be. But specifically, Giroux, I'm not worried about him regressing from last year.
Okay. Well, that's good. Well, not good, but it's good for us to have Claude Giroux in their fantasy leagues. See, it kind of slipped out there that I had Giroux. Usually, any question I ask about a player, it's either I have a hockey card of him or I've got him in a fantasy league.
When you said Marchand scored, I almost mentioned I have him on one of my leagues. So that's, you know.
Oh, there you go.
Best of a bad situation there.
And the Penguins are up 1-0 as we speak. Yeah, I know. But thank God we don't have the Pens guy on. I don't have to say congratulations to him, too.
Tonight is the only congratulations Jeff will get from us.
You guys have always been nice.
We'll continue to be nice, but that's the last congratulations you'll get from us.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, next year, and a bit, you know, off season next year.
It's just like insanity.
Frank and beans. Frank and beans.
I don't know what the fuck you people do.
Put aside.
That one was appropriate.
Yeah, we've got a few that we can string together, and it actually comes out pretty funny. But anyway, all right. So before we let you go, because we're actually going to be back on the air in about 12 hours. So we're doing like a little pregame thing. We're actually going to do our Rangers preview tomorrow morning. But where do you see the Flyers finishing, and where do you see the Rangers finishing? I'm curious to hear your. We got the Devils fan opinion. He's pretty high on the Rangers this year. So let's hear. Where do you think the Flyers are going to finish in the division and the conference? Where do you think the Rangers are going to finish in the division and the conference?
See, that's tough. A lot of it for the division, a lot of it depends on Crosby's health. But I would think that the Flyers are going to be second or third in the division. Even if Crosby never comes back, I still don't think they can win the Atlantic again. I'm kind of a cynic about the Flyers, but I would like to see them... I'd like to see them try if Crosby's out. I think that the Rangers are kind of hit or miss this year.
This year?
I wanted to be nice. I didn't want to, you know. I was going to get to the point that every free agent you sign kind of bombs, and you have these big expectations because
you
just got this big.
Wade Redden's doing just fine in Connecticut. All we keep hearing about Wade Redden is what a great teammate he is in Connecticut. How great he is to the kids. That's turned out to be very good.
He's making $5 million down there. What?
6.5.
Should be the happiest man on earth.
Very high cost of living in Connecticut.
Yeah. So Richards is going to help. I don't like that contract either. So I can see the Flyers and Rangers battling for second in the division. The Devils could surprise as well, but that kind of hinges on Brodeur. So I think the top of the Atlantic's going to be wild. The Islanders could surprise too, but I think they're going to be fifth. The Penguins, Rangers, Devils, and Flyers I think are all going to make the playoffs, which is common except for last year. I do like the Devils. I don't think their second half was a fluke. I think it's a fluke, but I think at the end of the year they were still a little bit below what they should have been. So I see the Devils sneaking in, and then I see the Flyers making the playoffs but not getting home ice, and the Rangers battling out in sixth and seventh with the Penguins winning the division.
All right. Well, we're just about out of time, Jeff.
Jeff, thanks again, man, for coming by. Always a lot of fun.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
I would love to check in with you during the season, see what's going on with the Flyers. But thanks again, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Good to hear.
Take care, bro.
Night.
I just want to just comment on Elliot. Yeah, last year they came back, but that was under Jacques Lemaire. Now it's the boring. So we're out of time, right?
Heat the boring. We're a minute to go. We're out of time for the most part.
All right. Okay. Well, catch the podcast. Give them the whole spiel about where you can catch us.
All right. Well, first of all, we'll be back at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning on the East Coast. Is it 11 or 11:30? What the?
Look it up.
I keep forgetting what time we're on in the morning, if it's 11 or 11:30. Look, if you're on the Facebook group, I sent out an event. That'll tell you what time the show is tomorrow, because I honestly don't remember.
I'll tell you in a second. Okay. Come on with the other spiel, and I'll get you.
We're on iTunes. You can find us at www.blueshirtunderground.com.
11:30.
There you go. 11:30 East Coast time. Tomorrow morning we'll be on the air with our Rangers preview. We'll talk about – Eddie will give his predictions. I'll give mine. We'll see you guys in the morning. Have a good night, everybody.
Take care.
Fucking Penguins, guys.
They're too good for us, Jimmy.
Oh, the guy, they were like all excited about it. They're like, oh, yeah, we just started a blog talk thing. It's really cool. Thank you so much for reaching out to us. I don't know if they just forgot or what.
Yeah, maybe they got into the game or they got invited out to a game.
That could be. So, all right, sir. Good show. I'll see you in a few hours.
Okay, brother.
All right. Bye-bye. Talk to you later. Bye.